Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. This week and next, and I don't know how much longer we might go on this, but because of things that are happening right now in the heavenlies over our nation, and particularly down at Virginia Tech, when a crazed gunman, demon-possessed, shot 32 people, killed them, and himself. I'm feeling a real need to come to you on the radio with the authority of the believer. We've done this on television. I told about earlier in the week how a book, The Authority of the Believer, fell into my hands, really, last November 2006. It was a book that had inspired Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. when he was doing a 12-year-long study on the subject. And his teachings are marvelous. I listen to his tapes on it regularly. But he mentioned a book by John A. McMillan, which inspired him. And in John A. McMillan's book, John A. McMillan was a missionary to the Philippines and to China. He begins his preface with the rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers may in union, remember that word in union, with the great head of the body exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. Now we were reading yesterday in the book of Ephesians, and in the book of Ephesians where it tells about what there is a prayer there in the first chapter of Ephesians that you can pray for yourself every single day. And that prayer is that you will come and be given by God. You will come into a wisdom and revelation that God will confer upon you. There are three things particularly that this spirit of enlightenment to your heart wants to enlighten you about. And the third one is a great power, a power of God. And we're going to read that again, that your eyes would be enlightened. I'll read the prayer. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now here's the part we're on right now. Give me a revelation into the exceeding greatness of your power to usward, who believe, according to the working of your mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And you have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, which filleth all in all. And so in reading about this and reading about God placing us there in that place, there's some wordage that we want to look at here in the Bible. And one of the things we need to understand is the difference between authority and power. Both words are translated power in the Bible, the King James Bible. But there is one which is exousia, authority, and another one, dunamis, which is power. Now, power is like dunamis. You hear that? Like dynamite power. And Brother Hagin used it. McMillan used it. When you're down at a crossroads in a city and maybe something's gone wrong with the traffic light and they have a traffic policeman there. And here comes the big traffic one way, maybe an 18-wheeler. And it could be a little woman policeman. And she just raises her hand. That 18-wheeler stops. She does not have the dunamis, the power to stop that 18-wheeler. But she has the authority to stop it. Now, with God, when he raised Jesus from the dead, he had the dunamis and he had the authority. But the authority of the believer is delegated power. We have a power delegated to us, and it was delegated to us when God raised Jesus from the dead. Bless the Lord. We have a prayer for spiritual enlightenment along these lines. In that prayer, it says that this power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him above all these evil forces. When Jesus was raised, behind the fact, I'm reading you from Macmillan. Behind the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, there lay the mightiest working recorded in the Word of God. Mightier than the power of creation was the power of raising Jesus from the dead. Why? Because the evil forces of the ages to come, the evil forces had been arrayed against the purpose of God. They had, however, been baffled and overthrown, and the risen Lord had been enthroned far above them, ruling with the authority of the Most High. This power, God raised Jesus from the dead, even though the demons in hell fought against it, he put off from himself, we are told in Colossians, these principalities and powers. He made a show of them, a parade of them. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. It says here in the Bible that he wants us to understand the exceeding greatness of this power to usward who believe. This power is for us. It's for usward who believe. Everything that he did pointed manward. The cross of Christ, with what it revealed of obedience to God, of atonement for sin, of crushing defeat of the foes of divine authority, shows us a representative man overcoming for mankind and preparing through his own incumbency a throne and a heavenly ministry for those who should overcome through him. A throne and a heavenly ministry. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When Christ was raised from the dead, he was seated at the right hand of God, far above all this demonic power. And when Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. Notice what it says here. Look, I hope you have your Bible out. It says that he wants us to get this revelation about the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when, verse 20, Ephesians 1:20, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, not just above, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world and age, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet. He seated Christ at his own right hand, and the demons and the princes, from the princes down to the low-level devils, are under his feet. But notice verse 22. He did this and gave him to be the head over all of these things to the church. The reason he's seated up there, we're living down here in this earth, but he didn't leave us just down here at the mercy of the devil who has no mercy. When he was raised from the dead, and we were raised from the dead with him. It says right here, he has put all things under his feet, verse 22. He was given to be the head over all things to the church. It's for me, it's for you, which is his body. The church is his body. He's the head, we're the body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul didn't write in chapters and verses. In other words, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised Billy Brim from the dead. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you wherever you are. California, Washington, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, wherever you are. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead. Now look at verse 4, chapter 2. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. King James says heavenly places, but it's really the Greek word heavenlies. In the heavenlies, at the right hand of God, Jesus was raised and seated. Bless the Lord. The right hand of God is the center of power of the universe. When God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand, he raised you from the dead. Reading again from Macmillan, page 7. Christ and his people were raised up together. Bless the Lord. The very act of God which raised the Lord from among the dead raised also his body. Head and body are naturally raised together. Christ the head, his body the church, the ecclesia, the assembly of the believers. Hallelujah! Ephesians lifts the believer with the ascended Christ to the heavenlies, where he is made a partaker of Christ's throne. In this enthronement, there is something that has to do with the future in the next age, when he is ruling the nations, and we will be ruling also from his own right hand. But it also has something to do with right now. Bless the Lord. When the Master foregathered with the 11 on the Galilean mountain at some time during the 40 days of his manifestation after his passion, he said to them, quote, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." His formal assumption of that authority took place when he sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavenlies. Hebrews 8:1. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him, that is, they share his throne. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise, to the extent of their spiritual apprehension, authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. It is absolutely imperative right now that believers rise up with the knowledge that they are indeed seated at the right hand of the Lord, and they can say what goes. Believers, if you have a college in your town, you get up every morning. Next week we're going to talk about what you get up in the mornings and say. How you get up in the mornings and you say, "In the name of Jesus, when God raised Jesus from the dead, I believe it. He raised me." And I sit here this morning. This is what I do in my house. I live on a hilltop, and I sit up there and I say, "I'm ruling and reigning over my domain today." Oh, no, you don't, Satan. Not in my neighborhood, not over Prayer Mountain, not over my family. We're going to go, and he cannot, he cannot, he cannot, he cannot. He has to flee when we tell him to. Now, I do want you to be back with me next week. And in the meantime, I wish you would go online, billybrim.org, read some of the things we've written about authority, listen to our webcast. You can order this book. I want you to have it in your hands. We got it back into print. It was out of print. The Authority of the Believer by John A. Macmillan. You can order it by 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447. Or go on billybrim.org, billybrim.org, or order from Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. If you can, I do wish you'd send us an offering to help us with all of our work that we're doing, especially to get out this message. Shalom, shalom. This is Billy Brim.